It's time for our monthly investment feature with Bernard Drotsky, the Chief Investment Officer of Melville Douglas. Bernard, good to see you again and all the best for the new year.
Thank you very much, Mike, and a good evening to you and your listeners.
Now, if we look back, let's look through the rear view for a while. 2018 was one of those rare years in which none of the major asset classes generated returns for investors. How many times can you recall that happening in your career?
Yeah. Look, that's a very good question. I'm very glad that you've actually raised it, because it really speaks to the benefit of being invested in the markets or at all time versus trying to time the markets, at least from the peaks and the troughs. So I had a look at that. It's very interesting. It happens more often than what most people, I guess, would expect. So if you go back over the last 20 years, whether you take 20 years or 25 years or even 30 years, and depending on the market, whether you look at the JSE or global markets, what you tend to find is that every 3 to 4 years, markets actually give you a negative return. So in actual fact, what it means is there's, for any rolling 12-month period, there's at least a 25 to 30% probability of a negative return. Having said so, over the longer term, clearly equity markets produce, very attractive, real returns. And I don't see any reason why that should be different going forward.
It does raise a very good point about staying in and staying invested. And, we had John Bogle pass away last week. And one of his famous sayings was always about invest you must. Don't try and time the market because it is the power of compounding. Looking at the start of the new year and where we find ourselves in the U.S., the talk is obviously of trade, of the partial shutdown of the U.S. government. That's surely causing some delays for the Trump administration's agenda of deregulation and any of the other pro-business measures that he may have had. Obviously, that raises concerns about long-term consequences for companies that hope to benefit from his policies. What impact is this whole shutdown story having on markets at the moment?
Look, funny enough, it's had absolutely no impact whatsoever on markets. So if you look at it from a timing point of view, the markets basically bottomed at the same time when the shutdown became effective, so just before Christmas. And since then, global equity markets have gone up by 11%. So it's a significant improvement as far as markets are concerned. Having said that, at the end of the day, this is the longest shutdown on record, and clearly will have an impact on the economy. We know that close to 800,000 government employees are not being paid, and it's not just government employees. There's another 4.2 million contractors, supplying into government, also not being paid. So clearly will have an effect on the economic data when they get released later on this year. So that is something to be concerned about, but at this point in time, markets view it as a one-off and expect things to improve down the line. But that clearly, the near term remains an uncertainty.
And
adds to the negative news flow.
And you mentioned that interesting observation around when markets started turning around. And it was around Christmas time. It was also around Christmas time that the U.S. president was tweeting about the Fed and likening the Fed to a golfer without any touch. And that's when we really started to see the cooing of doves inside the Fed. It does raise all sorts of questions about Jay Powell's independence, but how are you reading the Fed tea leaves this year? It does look like they're a lot more dovish going into 2019 than we expected last year.
Yeah, no, I think, look, you're absolutely right, and it has been fascinating to watch over the last few months, because if you go back to September of last year, or only 3 or 4 months ago, the Fed certainly was a lot more hawkish in their assessment. But one needs to remember that a lot has changed since then. So, if you go back 3 or 4 months ago, markets were significantly higher, and the Fed was slightly concerned about the risk of the economy overheating or potentially inflation moving too high. But since then, markets have disappointed. Economic data, generally speaking, has disappointed. Credit spreads have widened. And to be honest, financial conditions have tightened over that period. So it does make sense, I think, for the Fed to be slightly more cautious given the global backdrop. And our sense is that they'll remain patient, and I think before they hike rates, they'll probably want to see economic data started to improve and sentiment started to improve. So we only expect the next hike to take place in the second half of this year. It is interesting, however, if one looks at the money market at this point in time, the FRA curve is discounting a cut towards the end of this year. So in other words, no hikes whatsoever going forward.
Ah, and the FRA, for those who are not au fait with the lingo, is the forward rate agreements. It bears repeating that sentiment often drives markets. And I was at a PwC CEO survey launch this morning. It's their global survey launch. There's a South African component, and we'll be hosting a panel discussion on that next week, a very meaty topic. But globally and locally, CEOs are more pessimistic going into the new year than they were this time last year. And that accords with a lot of what you're saying and a lot of the data that we are seeing out there at the moment. And these are CEOs of firms that are sitting with revenues north of $100 million. So big companies, and they do tend to shift markets. The other big story, obviously, has been the trade story and trade wars. There was some hope last week that we might see the beginnings of a resolution. That seems to have faded again. I don't know which way we're going to go on the trade war front. How are you reading that right now?
Very difficult to predict. Look, I think in the near term, it would appear that the Trump administration have sort of softened their stance a little bit. And at least are negotiating with the Chinese at this stage. So we'll have to wait and see what the outcome is from these rounds of negotiations. But as we know, Trump is a difficult negotiator, and the Chinese are no pushover. But I would imagine that if they come up with some agreement, some deal, that should be good for markets, at least in the near term. The only question is how sustainable that is. The other point to make also is, we've been talking about global trade quite a bit during the last year. But one needs to bear in mind that the global trade has been in decline now over the last decade. And a lot of that is a result of protectionism. And I don't see that going away anytime soon.
It is one of the key talking points over in Davos, globalization 4, and how we start to reignite a multilateral rather than a unilateral world, which is where we are heading. Now, markets also seem worried about the levels of debt out there, and not just the levels of bank debt, but non-financial sector companies and their sort of gearing. And we saw it in the sell-off of some big names last year. How large is this potential risk for investors in South Africa?
Look, that's a very, very important aspect you're raising there, is that if one looks at since the financial crisis, really, debt has been accumulating at a rapid pace, and on average has increased very significantly. And that has been the case at governments, but not only governments, also within private sectors, and also you'll find it with most countries. And the reason for that was really at the time to get us out of we were in serious trouble just after the global financial crisis. And as a result of that, interest rates were significantly reduced, and it made sense for the private sector or companies to at least to borrow, given that interest rates were very cheap and money was very cheap at that point in time. And it was part of the process of healing the economy and getting the economy on its feet again. So it was very, very important to as far as that was concerned. But nonetheless, the level of debt within the private sector, especially in U.S. corporates, have gone up very significantly and has more than doubled now over the last decade. And what it really means, it makes the system very vulnerable to a shock. So when we go into an environment where growth starts to slow down, that becomes a problem for corporates because they still have to service the significant increase in debt. And not just that, in an environment where interest rates are moving higher, that will come at a cost. So it makes the system quite vulnerable from that point of view. And in an environment where there's some slowdown, what you may find is bad, it starts to move slightly higher. Banks and other funders will become a lot more conservative in their approach and may very well start to pull some of the funding lines. So that I think is a real risk if we once we go into the next downturn. So that's negative, obviously, for corporates. It's negative for economies, and it's especially negative for emerging markets, which we view as really a geared play on the global economy.
And we'll see who have been the good capital allocators and who haven't, as that liquidity starts receding as well. All of these factors make for a very challenging year in which to navigate. Again, how is that impacting portfolio allocation at the beginning of 2019?
Well, thanks for that question. I think at Melville Douglas, you know, we very much follow a balanced approach when constructing portfolios. So we don't take extreme bets or anything like that. And we also believe that diversification is really the only free lunch for investors. And I think it's important for investors to differentiate between near-term volatility, news flow, etc., and how that affects share prices versus the underlying value of assets, including shares, bonds, whatever the case may be. So we focus our attention really on trying to determine the fair value of assets. And during these volatile periods, that provides us with an opportunity to make use of these opportunities when they present themselves.
So when you start to see valuations come into those areas that you've identified as attractive, then you can start nibbling away. And until then, just remain patient in your strategy. Sometimes investing has got to be a bit like watching paint dry. It isn't trading that we're doing here after all. Bernard, it's been great chatting to you and sharing your insights in the monthly offshore investment slot here on Classic Business. Take care.
Thank you very much, Michael.
That was Melville Douglas's Chief Investment Officer, Bernard Drotsky, with your concluding investment outlook. Let's find out what's happening out on the roads with Pusileto Peterson.